Well, let's turn together to Psalm 119. Continuing on with this series of ours, moving through this psalm, we find ourselves at this stanza beginning at verse 121. And as it's usually the case, we'll have a narrow focus in this stanza. We won't attempt to think in great detail about each of all of the eight verses here, but we'll narrow our focus to one or two verses. But for our scripture reading, we'll read verses 121 to 128. Last week, or rather 2 weeks ago, our focus was on verse 122, "Be surety for your servant for good." And this week, our focus will be on verse 126. "It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void." Let's hear the word of God together, beginning at verse 121. "I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way." The Bible tells us in a lot of places and in a lot of ways that procrastination and laziness are the roots of all kinds of problems in our lives. And that is especially true in our spiritual lives. A servant of the Lord is not much use if he always plans his work for tomorrow and always has an excuse for today. And so it's very important that we together not be that kind of servant, and that we add diligence and urgency and initiative to our faith in the Christian life. Well, verse 126 of our text is just such an admonition, right? It admonishes us in precisely this way. It is a call to add diligence and urgency to our service to Christ, and in a sense to seize the present moment in the work of the kingdom. So three simple points this afternoon before we come to the Lord's table together. Again, focusing on this verse and the following one, 127. First, we're going to look at this the spiritual call to action, if you will, that we find in verse 126. Next, we're going to think about the reason why it is so urgent, also found in verse 126. And finally, we'll look at what is the first step in our service to the Lord. Where do we look for direction? And that we will find in verse 127. So first of all, a call to action. Let's turn back to verse 126 here. And you'll notice that this is the way the King James Version translates it. "It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void." This is the way it's translated in New King James, and I think quite a few other English versions, ESV, King James, and others, a handful of others that I've checked. And it reads as a call for God to do something in this world in response to the wicked. It's the psalmist crying out in desperation because of the wickedness around us, crying out to God to do something. Now, when I saw this English translation, it greatly puzzled me, because when I looked at the Hebrew text first and translated it myself and wrote the sermon based on that translation, then came back to the English text and realized that it didn't square, much to my surprise. The Hebrew text says simply that it is not in the Hebrew text, but basically, literally, time to act, and then the preposition to, or toward, or for, and then the Lord's name. Time to act for the Lord. And that That combination of the preposition and the Lord's name is used quite a bit over the scriptures. Whenever Abraham builds an altar to the Lord, or someone brings a sacrifice for the Lord, it's always translated that way, to or for the Lord. Without question, I would translate this verse, it is time to act, or it is time to work for the Lord. Now, a little bit of research revealed to me that some ancient versions, including the Septuagint and the Aramaic Targums, translate it precisely this way. And actually, some very trustworthy commentators as well, names that you would recognize, like Matthew Henry and John Gill, also acknowledge this particular reading. And so the most natural translation of this verse is not a call for God to act, but a call for God's people to act or to work for him. It is time to act for the Lord. It is time to work for the Lord. Now, when we understand this verse in this way, then we understand it to be precisely what it is. It is a call for us to add diligence to our servanthood, a call for us to add urgency to our calling in Christ. It is time to act, or it is time to work. Now, this one little statement reminds us that that time is always now. That time to act for the Lord, that time to work for him, that time is now. No matter when this is read, right, it applies always to now. It's a commentary on the present. That time is always now. In other words, it's always an immediate calling for you to take up your spiritual duties. And there is a built-in urgency to the Christian life and calling because the time is short. And our calling is great. The Apostle Paul hits the same note of urgency in Romans chapter 13, and this is one verse that just came immediately to my mind as I'm thinking about this passage and this point. After a long catalog of Christian duties and admonitions throughout Romans 12 and Romans 13, he says at the end of that, at the end of chapter 13, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Now, the point that the apostle is making here, and certainly the point that we can discern in Psalm 119, verse 126, is that we don't have any time to lose. You don't have the time to lose. I don't have the time to lose. We have a calling from Christ. We have a very short and determined time in this world to take up that calling. That time gets shorter by the day, and so it is time to work for the Lord, our text says, or as the apostle says, it is high time in Romans 13. Now, this urgency that is built into the Christian calling applies to the whole range of our Christian duties before the Lord. But let me focus it in just two distinct ways this afternoon. One way we can certainly focus this calling for urgency is in regard to our personal spiritual growth. That is, spending time in the means of grace, growing in faith through the means of grace and the renewal of our minds. And I point that out because this one duty is so easily put off in our lives. Think of all the times you've had such good intentions to read the scripture every day, a set amount of time, and a set time during the day, and a set amount of scripture, and you had your plan and your schedule, and then it crashed and burned. How many times has that happened? Well, if you're honest, it's happened. It's happened to me, and it's happened to all of us. Because this is easily put off in our lives. We always think we'll have time tomorrow, we'll start it next week. And how foolishly we put it off, and how foolishly we let that get displaced by other things in our lives, by trivial things, things of no consequence. How many times have you said, in effect, the time is not now to act for the Lord? I'll try later. I'll try tomorrow. And the result can often be spiritual stagnation at best. The second area is in regard to our active work, labor, our service to the Lord and His church and His kingdom on earth. And I think this probably is the primary way to apply this text, because in our verse, in verse 126, when it says it is time to act for the Lord or time to work for the Lord, the verb that's used there is the verb to work, basically. It's an active verb, right? So it envisions action, activity. It's time to act for the Lord. And this, too, is easily put off in our lives if we are not careful. You know very well that every member of the body of Christ has a gift, has a function, has some kind of service to render, whether that's great or small, whether that's visible or hidden, whatever it may be. And the time for that work is now. That's what our verse tells us. It is time for that work. Our verse does not say there will come a time to work for the Lord, a more convenient time, a time when it's easier for you or you have a better idea of what you can do or would like to do. The time is now. The time is right now. And it's always time. You see, you have the immediate and present calling to serve the Lord with whatever means He has given you. The time is now. Now, that's clearly the emphasis on our verse, that we are not to procrastinate in these things, but the time is right now. And these spiritual duties of ours we should consider to be immediate. Why the urgency? Well, there are a few things to consider. The time is now. And one of the reasons that is so is think of all the time that has now passed you in your life. All the time that you have lost that you will never recover. Even if you're young, even if you're 12, let's say 15, maybe you're 18 or 20. That's still a considerable amount of time that has gone behind you. You will not get those years back that is now subtracted from your life and the time that you have here. And that's true of all of us, no matter what age you are. The time that is now gone is gone, never to be recovered again. And there's not one of us in this room that can say that we have wisely used that time that is now gone. We have wisely used our time thus far to grow in Christ and to grow in our service to Christ as much as could have been reasonably expected of us, right? Can you look back on your life and say, all those years that are behind me, I was wise in the use of all those years, right? I used them faithfully. I've grown in Christ. I've served Him with diligence and in a wholehearted way. All of us have some regrets concerning that time and the loss of that time. And what's more, you can count on the time that you have ahead of you going very, very quickly. Scripture and experience both testify to the fact that our time is short, and our lives are short, and our lives go quickly. The psalm that we've been singing every Lord's Day this past month, 39b, has this line in it. Surely every man is but a breath. And that's not just a thought or an idea. That's you. And that's me. You are a breath. I am a breath. Your time span here in this world is but a breath. And that's, we understand that to be the case. And we know that from experience. You might be a teenager now, but believe me, you will wake up tomorrow and you'll be 40. And if you're 40 years old now, you will wake up tomorrow, you'll be 60. If you're 60, 70, 80 years old now, you'll wake up tomorrow and you'll be in the presence of God, giving an account for the time that you had in this life and how you used it for His glory. So you see, it is true what this little verse says. It is time. The time is now to work for the Lord. Because you can never presume on what time you have. And frankly, much of your labor is already overdue. And the time that we have is short and always getting shorter. But there's another reason why our growth in Christ and our work for His kingdom is urgent. And that reason we find in the second half of the parallelism in verse 126. For they have regarded your law as void. The time to work, it is time to work for the Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Now, the psalmist doesn't specify who they are in this case, but it's very clear that what the psalmist is doing is he's looking at the world around him. He's noting the general state of affairs in the world, the state of lawlessness, the moral decay that he sees around him, the spiritual apathy in this world, how people ignore and trample on the law of God, how it's regarded as void by so many. And to him, then, that appears as being the general state of this fallen world. They, which is the generic they of mankind, they regard your law as void. Now, we should note well that this was the state of the world in ancient times, in the days of the psalmist. Human nature in a fallen world has always been what it is. So we should never, ever delude ourselves into thinking that former times were better than the present. Right? The preacher in Ecclesiastes counsels us against that, never to ask that question, because it's not a wise question. But certainly we can see that the psalmist's assessment of the ancient world is still very accurate today. There are many people in this world who do count God's word as void. So many, in fact, that this does appear to be the general state of the fallen world in which we live. It's the same world that the psalmist lived in. Now, it's easy for us to note this around us. It's easy for us to watch Fox News, for instance, or watch television, or whatever news feed you look at, and to note the decay, the moral decay around us in 1,000 different ways. If you watch movies or whatever kind of entertainment you have the misfortune to inflict on yourself, you can see how the world is and the moral decay of the world and how the law of God is regarded as void. From the institution of marriage to the sanctity of life to 100,000 other things that you can point to, there are many who count the law of God as void. Now, it's easy to see that, and it's easy to complain about that. And I think we're really good complainers when it comes to that. We like to get in our circles and gripe about the state of the world. We do that all the time. All the ways in which men try to make void the law of God. We love to point it out and complain about it. But this verse gives us a powerful equation and a direct path of action that you and I must take when we see that moral decay, that spiritual decline around us. There's something to do, not just something to gripe about, but something to do. And our response is not to complain or to criticize. Our recourse is to work, to act for the Lord. Listen to it again. It is time to act for the Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. You see, when we look at the world around us and we see God's word trampled on, our response should be to realize that it's time for us, that it's time for you, that it's time for me personally to work for the Lord. It's time for us to take up the work of the kingdom with a sense of urgency, to serve the church, to grow in Christ, to be an active servant of the Lord in this life. The time is now to work for the Lord because they regard your law as void. In other words, let me put the point in this way. The best answer that you can give to an ungodly world is to work for the Lord, is to serve him and his people and his kingdom. By being light and salt wherever you are, and by knowing that now is the time to do this, it's not something to plan or to think about or hope for in the future, but today, now is the time to do that. And for this reason, the ungodly never put off their ungodliness, right? They never say, I will regard the law of God as void, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do that sometime in the future when I get around to it. That's not how that works. So why should God's people ever put off their labor for his kingdom, knowing that the time to work is now? The basic point is this. Each time that we notice the sad and the sinful state of this world in which we live, it's not time to complain or to criticize. But it is time for you to do something. It's time for you to fix your eyes upon Christ and to be all the more determined in your Christian life to grow in faith and to grow in service to the Lord. The time is now for that. When we see ungodliness and lawlessness in the world, the best retort that you have, that you could ever offer, is to commit yourself to serving the Lord and to serving his church with all of your hearts. Listen to it again. It is time to work for the Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Now, finally, we'll look at one last part in this train of thought that the psalmist is having here throughout these several verses. And the train of thought extends from verse 26 into verse 27. Let's read those verses again. It is time to act for the Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Now, to better highlight the train of thought between verse 126 and 127, let me just read the last part of 126 and the first part of 127. They have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments. They have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments. Now, that little word therefore in there, it's alken in Hebrew, but it establishes a cause and effect relationship between this is the case, so this is the consequence, right? Therefore, that's what therefore means. That's when you use the word therefore. So amazingly, what the psalmist is saying, that all the lawlessness in the world, whenever all of they count God's word as void, that makes him love the law of God even more. Therefore, I love your commandments. Now this, I think, is a fascinating little insight into the renewal of the Christian mind and how the believer thinks about the law of God. Now, the old nature, the fallen nature of mankind, looks at the law of God and wants to break it because it is God's law. In other words, the establishment of the law makes the sinner want to break it. But to the believer, the breaking of the law makes him want to keep it and to love it even more. And that's exactly what's happening in this verse. The psalmist sees the word of God broken in the world. Ignored, counted as void, trampled underfoot. He sees it disregarded. But then his response is to love the law of God even more, to cherish it and want to keep it even more so. Therefore, I love your commandments. Is that your response when you see the sin of the sinful world around you? They regard your law as void, but therefore, I love your commandments all the more. I cherish them all the more. And so the principle that we can see and apply is this. The best and the clearest answer that you can give to a lawless world is to love the law of God. And so what we have seen in these two little verses is simply this. In the big picture of a fallen world in which we live, where the word of God is often counted as void, you are not just a spectator, nor are you just a critic. You are not just a pawn in a game that you cannot understand or control. If you belong to Christ, you have an answer. You have a course of action. You have a calling that is very real, and a response that's very meaningful that you can give to an ungodly world, one that glorifies our Savior. And it consists of two things. First of all, serve the Lord. Work for the Lord and know that the time is now to do that. Secondly, love His commandments. If His commandments are not loved by those who are around you, then in your heart be all the more determined by God's grace to love and to cherish them all the more. Let's bow in prayer.